It's time now for Reformation with Pastor Woodson Moore.
Everywhere I go, there's folks who want to know just what is our country way out. Some think it's in a man, and on his word they stand. But when I hear it, I just want to shout. More praying, less straying, that's what we need. Soul winning, less sinning, that's what we need. More love, less hatred, embrace and grief.
Well, this is Pastor Woodson Moore coming to you from Fairton Christian Center in Fairton, New Jersey, and we're looking at the perfect law of liberty this week. We're looking at the laws, the regulations that God laid down so that you and I could be blessed. He gave the laws this umbrella of protection. The world is filled with destruction. The world is predominantly evil in its nature because it is under the prince and power of the fallen spirit, Satan. He's the prince and the power of this world system. But Jesus came to remove us out from underneath the control of that system. Colossians teaches that we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. The principles of death and destruction that plague the citizens of the kingdom of hell, they're not ours. Because we are under the lordship of Jesus, who came to save us, who came to rescue us. You say, yeah, I know he came to save us, but he didn't come to save us from the perplexities and the problems and the troubles that we have in this life. He came to save us so in the next life we would be free from all those things. Listen, whatever is going to be the earth during the millennium can be ours as individuals now. By faith, we have already been made kings and priests unto our Lord. We are a holy nation. Peter declares that, says, you are a dedicated, holy nation. You've been called out of darkness to show forth the praises of him that has redeemed us. Our life is to reflect the blessings of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. He did not come to make people's lives miserable. He came to rescue us. That's why he gave us his law. He said, do this. You don't have to walk around with hatred and unforgiveness in your heart towards people that have wrongly used you. You don't have to live very long before somebody's going to abuse you or misuse you in some way or fashion. I mean, it happened to me whenever I was like 4 years old. I was home. These two boys came by, and I wanted somebody to play with. And so I said to them, stay, play with me. They said, no, we're going to do something else. And I said, well, wait. If you'll stay, we have some candy in the house, and I'll get you some candy. Now, that was something that was very rare in our house at that time. And my mom had some of these little, they look like gum drops, only they were like white sugary stuff with chocolate over the outside of them. And there was two of them. And there was two of them. And so I went into the house. I got the two pieces of candy. I brought it out, gave it to them so that they would play with me. They ate the pieces of candy and took off. And I felt totally betrayed. How old was I? 4. I'm 72 now. And I remember that like it just happened 15 minutes ago. Look, you're not going to have to live too long before the world system is going to abuse you. But you don't stay there. You get free of that. You forgive those who have trespassed against you. You forgive them. And you move on. You don't hold that hatred, that animosity in your heart. Because if you do, it's going to mess you up. And the Lord doesn't want you messed up. So he says things like, forgive those who trespass against you, so that your heavenly Father can forgive you. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. golden rule. Paul deals with that, Romans chapter 13. It's up to you how you want to live your life. You can read the book, let the book speak to your heart. God said to Joshua, "Joshua, I want you to meditate on my word day and night. And then I want you to be strong. I want you to be very courageous because I have a job for you to do. And that's to lead this whole nation into the things that I have promised them. But you have to be very strong, very courageous, and you have to do what I'm telling you to do." It's the same with your life. There are people that depend on you. Maybe you're a mom, maybe you're a dad, maybe you're an aunt, maybe you're an uncle. Somebody out there is depending on you. Be an example of obedience to God's truth so that they can look at you and say, what is there about that person that makes things good? Proverbs 21:12, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. What? The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. I'm a righteous person, but I'm going to stand back. I know that person is wicked. I know they are disobedient to God's truth. I'm going to stand back and over a piece of time see what happens. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. You know, like some of the old hymns that we sing, you know, like, further along, I'll understand why. While there are others not doing right, and they're never molested, everything just goes right for them, but yet they're doing wickedly. That isn't true. That's not true. Because the wages of sin is death, and you reap what you sow. The wise man, see, I love Proverbs. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Back off and take a look and watch and see what goes on. Now, some people are pretty good at covering up the results of their sin. And the Bible says some sins will be shown in this life, and some sins will be exposed whenever we stand at the judgment. But it's going to happen because the wages of sin is death. And when people open that door by disobedience to God's truth, death is coming in. It does three things. It steals, it kills, and it destroys. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Randy Travis is going to sing Pray for the Fish.
Yelling, no. I'm a brand new man. Well, the water got to bubbling, the sky got to rumbling, and the thunder backed up the choir. The fish started jumping, it was like they were swimming in a lake of fire. And then his mama stepped out of the crowd and started yelling out loud, pray for the fish. They want to know what's coming when the sand starts falling off the likes of him. Lord, be with them. They ain't done nothing. Please, won't you leave them just a little bit of room to swim? Pray for the fish. He said, everybody cross your fingers, fold your hands. Pray for old Eddie, but before we say amen, pray for the fish. Lord, be with them. They ain't done nothing. Please, won't you leave them just a little bit of room to swim? Pray for the fish. Lord, pray for the fish.
I don't know how theologically correct that song is, but you get the idea that sin is not a good thing if it's going to be rolling off old Eddie and onto the fish. It goes back to that verse, this verse. It's verse 12:21 of Proverbs says, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. You know, what the Bible tells us to, like you told Joshua, to meditate, to think on. You go through the Psalms, and throughout those Psalms, you'll come to a place, you'll say, Selah. And what that literally means is pause and think on this. You need to take the Word of God, read sections. There's different ways of studying the Bible. You can do a word study, follow a particular word throughout the Bible. You can do chapter at a time. Another way is to read big chunks of the Bible to kind of get the flavor of what's being spoken there. But the point is, you need to study. And you take something like this, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. And you just meditate on that. Meditate means to kind of mumble over and over again, kind of like you're memorizing stuff. And you say to yourself, Lord, teach me something. And you say, the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Teach me something. What are you saying here, Lord? What are you saying? The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. And then the Spirit of God can take you to a scripture like Galatians 6. And it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You get a guy that's a liar, he's a thief, he's a cheat, he's an adulterer. You think he's going to get away with that? You see, there is a God in heaven. That's why it says, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. I'll repay. The law of sowing and reaping will take care of these things. And that's why you back off and you watch the house of the wicked. It says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And there's a whole teaching just on what the flesh is. It's the natural desires, the carnality of man, especially unregenerate man, being driven by the lusts of the body. And it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And sometimes we just feel like thrown in the sponge. You say, I've been going to church, I've been doing what's right, and it's not working, I'm just giving up. It says, but let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We're not going to faint. We're going to watch and see God move and be our help in time of trouble. Remember, if you know Jesus, you'll know freedom. There is no Jesus, there'll be no freedom.